And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, an unreviewed tactic. I made hint about this yesterday. We're going to talk about it today. An unreviewed tactic. Plus, I am going to break my silence, and I am going to discuss the tragedy from the other day, and I want to talk about it from the afterwards point of view. Now, we are wondering and hoping that we're going to have the professor of retirement, our very own Marty Schneider, join us live. But we did hear he wasn't feeling that well a little bit afterwards. So could be a bump right there. We'll see. In today's Facebook post, this is for sure. Say it right.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, which we will absolutely do this hour. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's justified radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
When you hear these phrases, where does your mind take you? Strolling along the water's edge, a fresh breeze gently blows as you hear children laughing and playing. Shopping in an open marketplace where the rustle of people buying and selling mixes with the scent of freshly baked bread and music that tickles your ears and adds pep to your step. Traveling with like-minded people who embody your hopes and embolden your faith in a majestic and serene country. These experiences only scratch the surface when you join us in Israel for 9 breathtaking days this fall. Capture the wonder of the Bible coming to life as you take the trip of a lifetime to the Holy Land. Experience Israel in November 2017 like never before. See firsthand how the old and new combine to create a beautiful tapestry that will revitalize your faith. Become engulfed in the beauty of Mediterranean landscapes and culinary delights, all in the comfort of 4- and 5-star accommodations. For cost and trip details, visit ExperienceIsraelTour.com. That's ExperienceIsraelTour.com.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da Ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
The American Red Cross urgently needs blood and platelet donations and asks donors to schedule an appointment to give now. Your blood donation matters to the patients counting on life-saving transfusions. Visit redcrossblood.org.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A lot of things to run by you. We're going to take our time in some of the sponsorship kind of announcements, kind of things we want to share. Don't forget to go to kprz.com. Check out the different events that are taking place. It's a big event taking place at City View Church that we want to encourage you in regards to the Hope Ministry. Restoration Ministry. We support that 100%. We also want to remind you that there are the half-price tuitions opportunities and also crazypricemall.com where you can get a discount. Now, The way I grew up, I'm not no shame in this whatsoever, very proud of this, but I grew up in a household that was like buy wholesale, sell retail. It's not complex, right? I mean, Dad used to build office buildings and, you know, apartment complexes and, you know, stuff of that nature. Is like he wasn't doing it for a loss. So if you can get an opportunity to get a great deal, take advantage. Right? I mean, that's fair, right?
I would suggest McDinney's.
McDinney's, right?
National City. I've been there a few times. It's really good.
Yeah. I mean, the food, any kind of you get foodie thing is just, you know, foodie is fantastic. They don't say that word enough, foodie. It's kind of like, you know, a teachy thing. A foodie thing.
Well, that's what they call people that are like real big into food. They call themselves foodies.
They call themselves foodies.
Like a Trekkie?
Oh, I thought that was foodies like handies, but no foodies. Handies. All right. I want to review an you know, he's got to put up with this. That's what they pay him for. I want to talk about an unreviewed tactic. I don't really think we have a sound. We don't have a sound for this, do we? We do have a sound for this? Oh, yeah, we did come up with one. Okay, what do we got?
B-3.
You sunk my battleship.
G-52.
You sunk my battleship.
Okay. I think the whole thing there was a tactic in strategical warfare. Might have been a little high in the voice pitch, but I think you get the idea. Here in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8 through 11, I was reading this the other day. I think it was yesterday or the day before. It might have been yesterday. And when I read this, I think I read this 10 times because I mentioned it in the show yesterday. I'm going to kind of, I don't know about expository review, but I'm going to dig into it. Or as pastors now like to say, I'm going to unpack it. Okay, unpacking is for clothes that you take on a trip. Okay? All right, great. Otherwise, we'll just talk about it. Okay, great. Then a new king who knew nothing about Joseph came into power. He said to his people, "These Israelites are so numerous and so strong that they are a threat to us. In case of war, they might join our enemies in order to fight against us and might escape from the country. We must find some way to keep them from becoming even more numerous." So the Egyptians put slave drivers over them to crush their spirits with hard labor. The Israelites built the cities of Pithom and Ramesses to serve as supply centers for the king. So here is a fascinating element. We just went through Genesis 1 through 50. We did multiple DDDs on that. We talked about, you know, everything from God in the beginning to Joseph, you know, parent passing away at 110 years of age. Now here you have in Exodus chapter 1, a new king that arises. It's funny because verses 1 through 7 in Exodus 1 show you that Exodus is a continuation to Genesis. These are not like separate documents that somebody slapped together with glue hoping they would put together. You know, verses 1 through 7 review the children of Israel moving to Egypt. Really quite brilliant. And now we have a new king, and the scripture says who knew nothing about Joseph. So some critics of the Bible, and this happens all the time because they don't people want to be critics of the Bible because they don't want it to be true, because then they have to be accountable. So they come up with anything they can to kind of discredit. So some people said, well, oh, my goodness, there's no way in the world that a king could rise after Joseph's death. And then as the king, not know about Joseph. How could that be? He was second in command. Well, there are three or four super simple answers, but let's put the first one on the table, right? Ready? I'm gonna give you a test right now. Ready? Who was the president 200 years ago today? Who? Who was the Secretary of State? Wait, better. Who was the Vice President 200 years ago today? Who? What, you don't know? Oh, because this king who rose up in Egypt, he rose up in a particular dynasty, the 18th dynasty, actually, in Egypt. And this was 200 years after Joseph died. So this isn't a guy that rose to power a day after Joseph died. It's 200 years later. And you should know, the Egyptians do not keep favorable historical records on anybody, or did not keep favorable historical records on anybody but themselves. So putting Joseph in their history would not have been a process that would have been part of the way they think. It just doesn't work that way. So this king arises hundreds of years later, and he's looking at all the Jewish people and the Israelites. The Israelites have grown, and they're becoming strong, and they're multiplying, and they're going all over the place. And so what does he want to do? He says, we got to figure out how to control these guys. This is getting out of hand. We got to figure this out. So they come up with a system. They don't want them to, if there's a war that breaks out, they don't want them to join the enemy and fight against them, where they could also escape the country, which, by the way, an alternate reading in the Hebrew is take control of the country. So if there was a war and the Egyptians lost, since the Israelites were already be in Israel, they could potentially just take over the whole nation. That was another part of the thinking. But it doesn't matter which one it would be. It's irrelevant, because what they were trying to do is control the Israelites. They were trying to find a method, a tactic. Listen to what he says. We must find some way to keep them from becoming even more numerous. So what you know for sure is what they're going to institute is something that will oppress the Israelites and keep them in line. Here's what they came up with. Ready? So the Egyptians put slave drivers over them to crush their spirits with hard labor. Do you know what the enemy of the Israelites came up with? We're going to crush their spirits. We're going to take control of the Israelites by crushing their spirit. We're going to take control of the Israelites by keeping them down. Now, there's two really bizarre ironies in this. I don't know if they're really ironies. That's probably the wrong word. The first one is that this is what was the attempt in the early church in Acts chapter 8, when they tried to suppress the church, and by doing that, they tried to break their spirits. But the exact opposite happened the same way with Israel. When they tried to crush Israel and tried to break them down, ultimately they multiplied more. And when they tried to crush the Christian church and break it down in Acts chapter 8, ultimately it spread the gospel further and more people became believers. But I want you to get the tactic that Satan is trying to use against the people of God. Crush their spirits. Let me ask you a question. When you have an encounter at work and it doesn't go good and you leave, don't you feel like your spirit has been crushed and there's not a lot you can do, and you kind of feel helpless and kind of feel like, you know, maybe you a little bit of a bondage there going on? Well, that's exactly the tactic that the Egyptians used against the Israelites, and that's exactly the tactic that Satan uses against the people of God. He tries to crush our spirits. That's just what happens. It's not discussed a lot, you know what I'm saying? Like in a spiritual warfare, we talk about prayer, talk about putting on the armor, we talk about the devil and unforgiveness. We talk about these things, and they're all, everyone valid. We just don't talk about this tactic a lot. That's why I called it the unreviewed tactic. Because what Satan tries to do is just crush our spirit, keep us down. So we don't do nothing. We don't feel like doing nothing. We go forward in nothing. We're barely hanging on, like the children of Israel, barely surviving. If you feel like we're in bondage, we're in slavery, we're getting nowhere, there's no progressions, and life becomes miserable. Well, that's what the enemy tries to do. That's why passages like "all things work together for good" are important, so that you understand that he doesn't get to get away with everything like that. But you need to be more aware, as I do, that the enemy's desire is to break us by crushing our spirits. That's why King David said, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." Get it? All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. You're going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere. All he needs, I humbly surrender
and fall on my knees. All I am, national and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
God desires unity among believers.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Amy Boucher Pye. Amy writes, "After I confronted my friend by email over a matter on which we had differed, she didn't respond. Had I overstepped? I didn't want to worsen the situation by pestering her, but neither did I want to leave things unresolved before she went on a trip overseas. As she popped into my mind throughout the following days, I prayed for her, unsure of the way forward. Then one morning I went for a walk in our local park and saw her, pain etched on her face as she glimpsed me. 'Thank you, Lord, that I can talk to her,' I breathed as I approached her with a welcoming smile. We talked openly and were able to resolve matters." Amy continues, "Sometimes when hurt or silence intrudes on our relationships, mending them seems out of our control. But as the Apostle Paul says in his letter to the church at Ephesus, we are called to work for peace and unity through God's Spirit, donning the garments of gentleness, humility, and patience as we seek God's healing in our relationships. The Lord yearns for us to be united, and through His Spirit, He can bring His people together, even unexpectedly, when we go walking in the park." We hope these daily programs inspire you to go deeper in studying God's Word. For additional resources and encouragement, download the Our Daily Bread ebook and mobile app. Prefer a print copy? We'll gladly send one your way for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Paul is saying that human resources can't defeat a spiritual enemy. Only divine resources can. That's why it's crucial to understand the resources that we have in Christ. As a believer, you represent the power of God in this world. So Paul exhorts us to be strong in Him and in the strength of His might. We find that strength by putting on the armor He has supplied to defend ourselves and taking the sword, which is the Word of God. Satan is cunning and deceitful. His attacks are complex and subtle. Since it's impossible to analyze and anticipate every attack, we need to be ready with a full knowledge of God's Word. This is John MacArthur, trusting your lives are portraits of grace.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station. Now I come to you. I
hear you say all things. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com. Probably the best way to do that. You can always call the station and ask to leave a voicemail. When there's, you know, I get plenty of voicemails that are positive and some that are negative. It's like, it's okay.
You know, I grew up in a Jewish home. I can handle it. I'm not too worried about that. Yesterday, we had a pretty tragic event. You would call that a tragedy. Not the first one we've had. Won't be the last one that we have. But when you've got a situation where a congressman is shot, Congressman Scalise was shot as they were practicing, I guess it was softball. Was it softball? I think it was softball. They have a softball game between the Democrats and the Republicans. And it's early in the morning, 7 in the morning, so you got to get up at like 6:30 and go to the practice. And then the congressman gets shot, plus the additional gentleman. And I waited on purpose 24 hours because what happens typically in an event like this is things come rushing out and people come, you know, initially saying some pretty tough things. And I get concerned because most of this comes from rhetoric at some point, and then there's rhetoric that comes after it. And then you never know how that's going to kind of pan out. So I just kind of like to wait and think through this in my mind. Look, the congressman was shot. The other individuals was shot. The police, obviously, from all accounts, the police on the Hill did just a fantastic job. But as soon as this happened, within 5 minutes of this happening, within 10 minutes of me hearing about 5 minutes of this happening, I wrote everything I'm about to tell you. Nothing. I just knew that the tendency. So I thought I'd write it down and sit on it. So there's only one or two things I'm going to change out of these eight things. First and foremost, the gentleman that did the shooting was not altogether mentally fit, or just was given to bursts of anger that were uncontrollable, which was, of course, not a good thing. The idea that this person would be found not responsible for his actions is ridiculous. The individual who committed the act is responsible, and then he's dead. So, I mean, he was shot, and he didn't survive his wounds, and that's the end of that. I mean, there's nothing greater than this person was not altogether well. You could say he wasn't well because of this, but it certainly looks like a culmination of his life brought him to that place more than anything else. So the first and foremost thing you got to say is the blame is specifically right there on the individual. What I don't like, and what we've been talking about, and what you cannot say just from one side or the other from politics, what you have to acknowledge is that the media and Hollywood and social networks are fanning some of these points of breaking for people. It's not fair to say that it is only the left-sided sites that do things like this, because there's other people who have done this on the right. Now, it's not the same. The protests and the alt-left, that's so far over. I mean, the right had the Tea Party, and the Tea Party would have a rally, and they pick everything up, and they clean up the park. The alt-left has a rally, and they destroy tons of items, and they leave tons of garbage, and nobody cares because they're all real big environmentalists. Sure. Nobody believes that rubbish. But you cannot take that and say they did it, or they. You can say, hey, there's a high level of irresponsibility. What bothers me is that there is no way for the media to cover this accurately because they is one. In other words, there's no way for anybody, like the New York Times came out with an article within 12 hours blaming Sarah Palin. And it's just like, it's such lunacy. And you see that blaming of Sarah Palin, that's the flaming. That's it right there. The fact that they have a Twitter site, or not a Twitter, the fact that they have a Facebook site that is committed to terminating Republicans, that's the problem. You can't do that. That's, you know, the idea, well, it's free speech. Well, what's amazing is on the left, it's free speech as long as you agree with us. Well, if it's free speech and it incites violence, then the Supreme Court was very clear that speech like fire in a crowded theater, when it's not, is illegal. So it's not just free speech. It's free speech under circumstances. And by the way, no speech is free. It's all at the blood of our soldiers who have laid down their lives. So the idea that it is okay because, you know, this is just an expression of free speech is ridiculous. But the idea that the media is not at responsibility in this is 10 times more absurd. Even when it was Barack Obama, the conservative media was brutal. There was nothing Barack Obama could do that was right. Zero. He couldn't do anything right, which seemed a little strange because in 8 years, you can tell me the guy can't do one thing right. Well, he can't pick out toilet paper. I mean, are you serious? It's so stupid. But then the same thing is happening on the other side where Donald Trump not only can't do anything right, but in some left circles, he's Adolf Hitler. I'm waiting for the person to say that to me since I've had family connected to the concentration camps, so I can just have a response to them that they won't like. And probably won't be very Christ-like, but it'll be forthright. It's like, you don't get to do that. You don't get to say that this man who murdered 6 million Jewish people is the equivalent of our president. And then I don't give me any of that rubbish or anything. That's just absurdity, you know. And the problem is nobody can control the media, which they probably shouldn't, but they don't have any self-control. So the only control that we can institute on media is by restraining ourselves from diving in all the time because it's rubbish. Now, I feel, you know, I knew immediately the Democrats would turn it into a gun control issue, which is what Terry McAuliffe did in 5 minutes. He goes, it's all about gun control. He didn't know if the gun was purchased legally, which would have been if it was gun control and he purchased it legally, still would have happened. So that means nothing. All that stuff's rubbish and ridiculous and so on and so forth. What we need to know is what do we do as Christians? How do we handle this? I don't care if you're Republican. I don't care if you're Democrat. I don't really care. I'm an independent. You know, you don't want to listen to the show. Hey, there's a knob right there. It's on the left side or on the right side. Use it. I mean, that's fine. It's not going to offend me. But the media in and of itself, Hollywood and the social networks and all of this Kill Trump stuff and even some of this other stuff where they would send things to, like, needing Barack Obama needing that much more security and all this stuff, this is all past anything okay. It's all past it. So what we need to do is make sure that we don't get caught up in the poison. Because the poison, it's here. You're a Christian. You have a responsibility to know what goes into your mind and your heart. The way to do that is not to consume the us against them, them against us mentality 24/7. The thing to do is to be praying for peace in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our states, and in our country, to be praying for a repentance of a nation, because without that, it's not going to matter, and that there be a recognition of a need to return to God and his word and not to fall on dependency of perverted and sinful mankind, because when you rest on the sinfulness of mankind, this is what you get. My wife brought up this fantastic point. If people had just simply used the most basic principles of Scripture, none of this would ever happen, ever. It's like, that's an excellent point. But instead, in the name of humanity, we're destroying one another. Well, congratulations. You've gone from Cain and Abel, who he killed his brother with a rock, to other ways to kill people. Congratulations. Very impressive. But as a Christian, don't keep drinking things that feed the flesh, that feed into this element. Don't tell me this is a spiritual war for souls when the warfare has to do with power amongst men and women. I'm not hearing the gospel preached at all these things. So when you tell me that the gospel is preached at all of these things, then I'll stand by you. Until then, not so much. Got it? All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You're going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
When I was younger, so much younger than today.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
If you're a stay-at-home mom who would like to make some extra money, or would like to be but fear the financial consequences of leaving your job, we have some news you might be interested in. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. If you're looking to get on the work-from-home bandwagon, here's a great opportunity for you. Consumer product company Philips is hiring over 100 work-from-home positions right now. According to Philips' career website, remote openings are available across the country in a variety of fields, including nursing, sales, customer service, and engineering. The jobs come with a pretty hefty benefits package, too, that includes medical, dental, and vision coverage, as well as child and elderly resources. An added bonus for work-from-homers, the company offers schedule flexibility and compressed work weeks depending on the business needs and the employee's position. Plus, workers get 3 weeks of paid time off in addition to 11 holidays. Here's a statement from the company's website. We know that supporting our people and their individual aspirations and needs is the best way to drive our business. That's why we're committed to offering a range of great employee benefits that can help our people thrive in work and life. A recent Gallup poll shows that more than half of women in the U.S. with children under the age of 18 would prefer to stay home over going to work, and 39% of women without children under the age of 18 said they wanted the role of homemaker. If you're interested in applying, visit Philips' website and search home-based to browse the open positions. How would you describe your health care? The word affordable probably is not the first word that comes to mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the changing political views of news networks.
I wrote a book about 12 years ago, and I remember specifically in that book talking about, you know, CNN being balanced, and at that point MSNBC was left-leaning, but I was on there quite a bit. And it was a platform. It's not that way anymore. I mean, CNN has become hard left, and everything the president does, they oppose. And so if we remain silent, you know, those who really have no opinion, that don't really pay much attention, they just kind of go about their business, they'll think that, well, I guess this is what I'm supposed to think, what the media is force-feeding them. So I think it's very important that individuals like yourself and others reasonably, rationally, and with the evidence and the facts, stand up and say, no, this is why we need to do this.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. If you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. As you notice, I do not do a ton of political commentary like that. I do a very limited amount. I might report on a story, but, you know, I try to be more limited in the commentary. I think Tugboat Todd put it in an excellent way. We're just talking off air, and he said, you know, no matter what it is, it's R versus D in all of these things. R versus D. It's funny because the Christian should recognize that it's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, which is far surpasses what the R and D element is, because our warfare is a spiritual warfare that is worldwide. It's not even just in this country. It's all over the place. But I did mention this, and it's hard for people to hear, but I just would challenge you, whether you're an R or a D, just listen to these two statements and tell me what you think. If under the Barack Obama presidency, that presidency would have found a cure for cancer, would you have given the Barack Obama presidency any credit? Okay, before, if you're a Republican, you say no, that the Lord gave it as a gift, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, which actually, that would actually be true. But if it happened under the Trump presidency, what would the answer be? Sid, if you have any different answer between those two, ding, 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 the world doth have you. You might not like that, but such is life. And there's some people that are like, no, well, it's good versus evil. It's like, listen, it's good versus evil based on man's standard of good versus evil. God's good versus evil is all in the book.
guess what? We're all evil. Aha! We lose! Apart from Jesus. There you go. See how easy that is? Life's so much simpler. All right, so because Marty wasn't feeling good, we kind of knew he might not be calling, and we found out earlier today. And normally Marty comes on either on Tuesdays or on Thursdays. He had a lot going on. And so we're going to just kind of fill in for him. And I was going to do something more inspirational, but I had mentioned to Tugboat Todd the whole thing about the 12 disciples. And he kind of found that a little fascinating. So I thought, you know, it's worth reviewing. It doesn't take a long time. But one of the hardest things that I found, I was watching a Taxi episode about 25 years ago. And in the Taxi, there was a priest was in there, and the person who was driving the taxi said, well, what are the names of the 12 apostles? And then you could see the priest is sitting there trying to name them all, because sometimes it's hard to do. And then I thought to myself, you know, if I was ever in a car and somebody said that to me, as much as I've read the Bible, I don't think I can pull that off all the time. So about 10 years ago, I came up with a system to help me remember the 12 apostles. So before you think this is super lame, then just rattle off the 12 apostles. Go ahead, right now. Go. Go. All of them. No, everybody knows those two. Name the other two. All right, name the other two. Now you get six more. Okay, see what I'm saying? Because there's 12, right? All right. Acts chapter 1. Let's hit into, we're not even going to do that. All right, I'm going to just talk about the 12 apostles and tell you how to do this. I'm just going to do a straightforward, encouraging way to do this. Here is a way for you to remember the 12 apostles. That's pretty funny in a sense, but most of you who listen to the show know that I am what? I am a Bapticost. I am a Baptist and a Pentecostal. You put them together, it's Bapticost. All right? All right, remember that when I come up with this and tell you how to do this. So what we do know about the 12 disciples and what might make it easier, and I'll ask Tugboat Todd to do this with you. We'll just try it and see if it works. He's a little nervous. Okay, so I'll only ask you two questions or one question. Do you know the name of the Gospels? Do you know the name of the four Gospels? There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and...
Paul?
No, John. Okay, so the four Gospels. That's okay. But out of those, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, two of them were Jesus' disciples, Matthew and John. Okay? So one of the ways you can remember two guys right away is like, okay, well, two of the four guys that wrote the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, two of them, Matthew and John, they're part of that. Now, who's the famous disciple that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you remember which one said that? That's Peter. And Peter's also called Simon. Okay? So that's just move with me. Hold on. Well, here's the cool part. There are two gospel writers. There are two Simons. Not two Peters, two Simons, because his name was Simon Peter, but two Simons. There are two James, and there are two Judes. So, wow, wait. You can nail down eight. These aren't the hard ones yet. These are the easy ones. You can nail down eight of the apostles, eight of the disciples, I mean, if you can just nail down this. Two of them were writers. You know it's Matthew and John. There were two Simons, two James, and two Judases, right? That's how you... Now, one was Judas Iscariot, and one was another Judas, so he also has a different name. There's one disciple that actually has two names, but we'll deal with that later. So if you can remember two Simons, Simon Peter and Simon the Zealot, two James, the greater and the lesser, and then two Judases, son of James, and then Judas Iscariot. So that makes eight right there, if you can just think of it. Okay, well, wait. So you got two of the guys that wrote the Gospels, Matthew and John. I know they were there. Right, that's correct. Right, Luke was a physician, and Mark was a protege of Peter. So Matthew and John, they wrote two of the Gospels. Two Peters, Simon and Simon the Zealot. Two James, the greater and the lesser. Two Judases, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot. That's eight. But those are not the tough eight. Those are not the tough ones. It's the next four where everybody messes up. The other four are Bartholomew, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas. So, Bartholomew, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas. The odds of you remembering that are very low. But if you remember Bapt, like for Bapticost, you will remember that it is B for Bartholomew, A for Andrew, P for Philip, and T for Thomas. And that's where the four tough ones are. Now you think, well, that's just a silly trick to remember the disciples, the 12 disciples. So, if you can remember him that way, if you can remember scriptures by song, that's bad? That's not bad. It's not the Lord said up there going, oh, you can't remember my word by singing. I mean, you got to think of how this stuff goes. The Lord's like, hey, yeah, whatever you can do to keep that in that brain of yours, that'd be good. And try and plug up some of the holes at the same time. I mean, you can just tell the Lord's trying to help us. But there it is. You got two other writers of the gospel, Matthew and John. Then you have two Peters, two James, and two Judases. And that's eight of them. And then you remember Bapt. It's like, wait, that's 12. So you can actually do it. You can, without trying to go through a list and make it tough, if you remember that there are four twos and bapt, you'll be doing great. Four twos and bapt. Right? And then you got Peter, who's the most famous of the disciples by far. Judas, one of the Judas is one of the worst. And then James is another famous one. So it's like, oh, wait, this is not even that hard. So you got Matthew and John, gospel writers. Two Peters, Simon and Simon the Zealot, two James, the greater and the lesser, and two Judases, the son of James and Iscariot. And then you remember Bapt, B-A-P-T, for Bartholomew, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas. Now, that is not a sneaky way or an anything way. I was actually sitting there thinking, I need to be able to remember this, and I need an acronym. Otherwise, I'll never remember it. I need to have something that can help me do it. Any way that you can memorize scriptures or things in the scripture, any word associations that you can give that can get you to what you need to get to, that's not wrong. I've had some people say, well, if the Holy Spirit doesn't remind you, listen, my brain's so full of rubbish that the Holy Spirit reminds me, I think it goes in one ear and out the other, and until he puts it on a chalkboard and sticks it in front of my face, I never see it. Anything you can do to help you remember. And one thing that somebody taught me, I won't say who, but somebody taught me, and I thought it was fantastic, is they said a great way to memorize scripture is to grab one scripture, put it on an index card, and put it in your car. And for an entire week, say that scripture at least 10 times throughout the week. Say the address, Philippians 4:13, and the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if that helps you to remember, brother, if that helps you to think about it, sister, how fantastic is that? Because the more you can call to mind, the more you can use to strengthen yourself in the Lord, and to fight the spiritual fight you need to fight. Let's take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. From the mountains of faith
to the river so deep. Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
This is so exciting! Wow.
It sure is. A chance to win the Adventures in Odyssey weekend family getaway in Colorado Springs this summer with VIP front row seats and backstage passes to their Get in the Show finale. Airfare, hotel, and transportation included. And just for entering, you'll receive free 30-day access to the Adventures in Odyssey Club with episode streaming and more.
Log on to KPRZ.com and use the keyword adventure in the search box at the top of the page.
No matter where we are in life, we all want to grow, going from good to great, especially in our journey with Jesus and others. Life Change with Pastor Troy Singletary will help you experience growth that is lasting and real each week. This Sunday, we hear Pastor Troy share his vision for the mission and direction of City View Church in the message, Vision Sunday. Listen to Life Change Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Life Change is the broadcast ministry of City View Church in San Diego. Learn more at cityviewsd.com.
And it was one of these situations where, as I grew older, I said,
Sometimes you do have to step away from the game.
Today on Focus on the Family Minute, Ernie Johnson describes a lesson he learned from two boys who left a baseball game to enjoy some blackberries.
Because God has put these blackberries out there for us, these sweet moments that if you're too focused on what do I have to do next, what's next, and you miss it.
Yes.
But these kids hadn't. They had said, while growing blackberries, the game can wait a second. And the more I thought about that, as being a husband and father myself, I said, how many times have I had the blinders on and was, when's my next meeting? When's my next conference call? In the meantime, I'm missing the person just out of my range who would just love to have somebody sit and talk with them for 5 minutes.
More from sportscaster Ernie Johnson today at FamilyMinute.org.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Paul is saying that human resources can't defeat a spiritual enemy. Only divine resources can. That's why it's crucial to understand the resources that we have in Christ. As a believer, you represent the power of God in this world. So Paul exhorts us to be strong in Him and in the strength of His might. We find that strength by putting on the armor He has supplied to defend ourselves and taking the sword, which is the Word of God. Satan is cunning and deceitful. His attacks are complex and subtle. Since it's impossible to analyze and anticipate every attack, we need to be ready with a full knowledge of God's Word. This is John MacArthur, trusting your lives are portraits of grace.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Good week of shows. I like it. All right, so for those of you that are like going, what was that whole thing with the disciples and everything? Just remember this. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels, right? Well, Matthew and John, so you could think MJ. So for those that know sports at all, you could just think Michael Jordan, MJ. And then you got two Peters. You got two James and two Judases. That's PJJ. MJ, right? MJ, PJJ, Bapt. Bam! You're done. How's that? That's the way to do it, right?
What about Luke?
Luke is not one of the original 12. So Luke was a doctor, was a physician. And actually, when Luke wrote Luke and the Book of Acts... And Luke, when he had a very, I would say, prescription-based style. So he wrote like a doctor. So he would like, he'd try to line it up like you're all specific and, you know, along those lines. And Paul also was very, very, very learned, very well learned as well. But Paul came later. That was on the road to Damascus. So Luke wrote an undertaking on his own. Mark was actually thought to be a disciple. John Mark was actually thought to be a disciple of Peter. So there's a lot of reflection in Peter in the Gospel of Mark. So then you got Matthew was one of the originals, and he wrote to the Jewish people. Mark wrote more from Peter's perspective and more maybe to the servanthood of Christ is what people will say. In Luke, the Gospel is written to the humanity at large, and in John, the Gospel is written as though Jesus is the Son of God, which is why, ironically, each Gospel has a picture that associates with it. So in Matthew, the picture is association of a king because Matthew wrote about the Messiah to the Jews, and that would be the king. In Mark, it would be a servant. So it was many people believe it's a – some people say it's a calf, but it should be a bull. And then for Luke, it would be more of a person or a human being. And then in John, it would be more of an eagle for majesty and majestic kind of mentalities. So that's, you know, just things that...
It's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, if you really get into some of the stuff, it's quite cool. There's nothing, you know, people are like, well, you shouldn't say this. You shouldn't. God's not up there going, oh, no, they've got the Gospel of John associated with an eagle. It's like, come on. You need to calm down.
It's like Christmas. People are, oh, you can't do Christmas. You mean you can't afford it this year. That's really what you're saying, right? Because that's usually where it comes down to. But if you have an extra, you know, $200-$400, it's commercial. But I think I can buy some really good gifts. All right. Anyway, you should grow up having a dreidel. You'd understand so much more. Let's get into our Facebook post. I don't think we have a sound for this, do we? So this is called Say It Right. And I've mentioned this before. There was a gentleman named O.L. Spears that my brother and I grew up with in our early Christian days. And O.L. Spears, we're actually going to record this at some point because we do think it's just too funny. But he used to say, think right, say it right, do right, and it'll be all right. And yes, he was a Southern preacher. Thank you. That is one of those things that sticks in your brains you never forget. So this is the say it right part out of that. Think right, say it right, do it right, it'll be all right. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 7. When Hiram heard Solomon's words, he greatly rejoiced and said, may the Lord be praised today. He has given David a wise son to be over his great people. When Hiram heard Solomon's words, I want to make sure you hear what I'm saying. When Hiram heard Solomon's words, what did he hear? Solomon's words. When Hiram heard Solomon's words, he greatly rejoiced and said, may the Lord be praised. He has given David a wise son to be over his great people. Our words can encourage people to give praise to God. What? Our words can encourage people to give praise to God. When Hiram heard Solomon's words, he greatly rejoiced and said, may the Lord be praised today. When he heard that the Lord was in Solomon's heart and mind, this is before Solomon went nutsy cuckoo, when he heard that the Lord was with him and he heard the words he was speaking, he was praising God because he knew that God had given Solomon insight and wisdom that was beyond himself. And by Solomon's words, Hiram was moved to give praise unto the Lord. Your words can have an impact on somebody giving praise to God, which is why Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue has the power of life and death, because in the words that you and I choose, in the words that we offer up, people can be encouraged and strengthened. They can be admonished. They can be challenged. But if any of those words have any reflection of God or draw a person closer to God, you're speaking life and helping praise go on to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're a vessel. You're a tool of the kingdom of God. You're an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not a Jehovah's Witness. You're Jesus' witnesses. And that's what you got to like, yeah, right. And I'm telling you, the power of your word, you speak to people in your life, right? You don't realize how important your words are to people around you. When you lift them up, they know they're encouraged. Don't you think that gives room for them to give glory to God more so? What we say matters, and how we say it, I mean, all that press is important. You don't have to be a flatterer to be an encourager. Just encourage people. I mean, after all, you would want them to encourage you, right? So do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break and then come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.